All right, so we are back in Rise World. Pele, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing, Charles?
Good. So you've actually made a lot of these really cool videos in the past. Now you're actually on camera.
Yeah, I'm on the other side. I've done a bunch of videos with Rise.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Really good stuff. I mean, people like it on Channel 9, and we're here with Nikolai Tillman. You've been on C9 before. You were with us for the Spur.
That's the last one.
That was an excellent talk, by the way. I'd love to find out what's going on in Spur World, but that's not why we're here today. We're here to, believe it or not, talk about PEX for fun.
Yeah.
So, beyond being just a really kind of a great place for developers to go and play around and learn and interact with various different research technologies that your group makes, what's going on? Why did you make PEX for fun? What's fun about it?
Let's go back in history a little bit. So we go to a lot of academic conferences where we present our tools and research. And in that setting, we always want to show PEX. The only problem is it requires, you know, a machine with a particular operating system and a particular version of Visual Studio and so forth, which is not always what people have on their machines.
Sure.
That's how we decided to do the website kind of a year ago. To be able to go and demo our stuff anywhere, any place. So you want to continue the story?
So we have the website, and it's a great way to teach our fancy testing tool, essentially.
Okay.
And it's interesting, but it's not really a sticky experience. So we saw that people came to the website, and they generated some test cases, and you move on with your life.
Yeah.
Then a university professor, Tao Xi from North Carolina State University, came up with the idea to not just test one program at a time, but to test two programs together to see whether they do the same thing. And that's how the game was born, Coding Duels.
Mm.
So the idea is you have to write one program and make it behave the same as another program, and you win when they're doing exactly the same thing. Mm. And our engine underneath figures out whether you are having any issues and have to write more code, fix something, and so on.
So it is very surprising. You've seen the logs. You go from people click one and twice, you know, great, and then they move on, never come back, to a sticky experience where you have 10 attempts, 20 attempts, 30 attempts, you know, 79 attempts in a row on the same problem, and you know, they get pretty obsessed about it.
Sure.
We get one of our users telling us he stopped shooting zombies and solving puzzles, which is crazy.
Excellent.
And then one of the when you look at logs, the problem is, you know, many people are not C sharp writers and still love the puzzle thing. So, you know, how do you write code in an IDE? Well, you have IntelliSense that, you know, solve all your typos and so forth.
Yeah.
So we're having lunch with Nikolai and Herman Venter, which you know well as well, and we're thinking, how do we get an IntelliSense in the browser? And Herman says, well, we wrote an IntelliSense for Spec Sharp. Let's use that.
Yeah. Excellent.
So Nikolai took care of the JavaScript magic on the client side. I did the gluing, and then Herman helped us with getting started with CCI.
Hmm.
And how many days it took?
Just a week.
Just
a week.
Awesome. Yeah.
So it's running the Spec Sharp CCI-based C Sharp compiler in the background. Which is, by the way, also open source.
It is, yeah, most of the engine is open source on Code.
Great.
Price.
Yeah. Great.
So we just combine these tools.
Well, I think because in some sense, the people, if you look at what's going on right now, somebody has just released a really excellent HTML5 JavaScript IDE for the web, runs on your web page, doesn't matter what browser you use, as long as it supports HTML5. And they have IntelliSense and stuff like that. So, I mean, I don't know. Your IntelliSense, though, is that I've noticed for PEX for Fun is it's really robust and actually does sort of mimic Visual Studio in the sense that I can really learn a lot about.
So when you press dot, your program is sent to our server along with the location.
Right?
So we have a source snippet. We also have loaded all the assemblies we're going to compile against.
Yes.
And then you have a full-blown the Spec Sharp engine goes, build the AST, you know, does all the compiler work there, and returns us a list of names that are valid in this context.
Okay.
And then the menu system is, you know, Nikolai's JavaScript magic. know, you just use the right icons and it looks like Visual Studio.
It's very, cool. Very impressive, man.
But every dot is a round trip, right?
Every dot is a round trip.
Yeah. Yes. So on the client, it feels very snappy because actually not so much happens on the client. You're just having a little bit of JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And JavaScript isn't the fastest language in the world, even if it's getting faster and faster. But all of the heavy processing, the actual compilation, happens on the server. Mm. Yeah, and on the server, we have a process running. It's always running. It's hot. It's waiting for the next request to come in, which it then immediately processes. Mm. But on the client, you can keep typing. It doesn't interfere with it. As soon as the result comes back, it's shown.
Yes.
So I think what makes it feel really snappy on the client is that it never blocks. You just keep typing. And it doesn't matter so much if the result comes back 5 milliseconds later. Mm-hmm. That's just fine.
So, but I mean, let's talk about that round robin kind of experience. I guess that's what the name is. I sometimes get it confused, but whatever.
So, yeah.
I mean, are you using Rx?
No.
Why not?
So, we tried to basically write as little code as possible. And already, so all of the web page is an ASP.NET web page, building on very simple components. Mm-hmm. And we just beefed it up a bit. To send forth and back the IntelliSense information.
Okay.
This is ASP.NET web forms.
Okay. Really?
Heavily tuned.
Nice.
But in a sense, it's whatever you start when you do a wizard and create a new website on okay. the... And then, of course, we iterated on that, but it doesn't really use any fancy mechanism.
Now, what about for the Packs for Fun... or perhaps I'm getting this confused with Rise for Fun.
Yeah, Rise for Fun is a simpler front end for all the compilers we produce in our group.
Yes, so Z3.
Yes.
I was going to say, because that's actually going to be executing in the server as well.
Yes.
So you guys are really taking dependency on the server, which makes sense. Then again, if I'm typing and I'm having some network issues, well, there it goes.
It is, right? It is like IntelliSense. If it doesn't, it never steals the focus from the keyboard, so you continue typing.
Absolutely, you just may never see the IntelliSense. Yes. I would imagine if there's some sort of substantial delay between communication from client and server, I'm not going to want you to show me something that was typed, 150 characters earlier.
Yeah, that's part of the engine. If you keep typing and go to the next word, and then the result comes back, it wouldn't show you.
Exactly. Awesome. Hey, I think this is great. I mean, IntelliSense is a wonderful thing. If you look at even what people are sort of complaining about in Visual Studio 2010 in the C++ world was that the removal of IntelliSense for C++ CLI. Right?
People love
IntelliSense.
We are in a much better place because we have a closed world. We know against what we're compiling. We can do a lot of optimization against that. It's good.
Yes.
And we're easier than parsing huge C++ code base.
Absolutely.
Compare that.
But I mean, I think IntelliSense in and of itself is a very, very useful feature. I love seeing it in a web context.
It's critical if you're, remember when you started programming, if you ever did, Charles.
Yeah, yes.
It really helps.
It does.
It really helps.
When I started programming, there was no such thing as IntelliSense.
But you probably also didn't have to fight against libraries that had 10,000 functions in it.
Yes, you're right.
Your library probably could have been on one page.
Yes.
Print.
It was Turbo Pascal, actually, mm-hmm. solving math problems.
Yeah, I remember that. At least you could get the entire library to a book.
Yes. So, hey, awesome. You guys also have done something extraordinarily interesting that I want to talk about today. And that is... You have written a PEX for Phone app for WPC.
So this is the official PEX phone, right?
Nice.
Put my password. Mm-hmm. And here we are. So I don't see if you see anything here.
I see it.
So we have a game. It's on the marketplace. And it is basically a Windows Phone 7 client to the website. So you can play. Mm-hmm. Just going to go to the editor, and similarly to the website, we've brought in the experience that we know people need to be able to type. So you have go and delete this. I'm going to press dot and then C. So X is an integer. I don't know if you see that. We basically have IntelliSense
in the editor here. You can do fancy stuff like a tap hold on the menu. Mm-hmm. Then it goes and loads the XML docs.
Excellent.
For the app. And in the background, when you stop doing anything, we also background compile on the server. So you see that little yellow dot? Mm-hmm. So it tells you that, well, you're expecting a semicolon. Mm-hmm. It's the whole...
Great.
Whole story right there on your device that you always have in your pocket.
Yeah, man. This is the first time I've ever seen a programming app for a mobile device. I haven't seen it on the iPhone. I haven't seen it in Android. And at least in this case, with your work with IntelliSense, C Sharp obviously is the language.
Snippets.
Let's talk about this.
So if you look around, there are a few apps to write programs on mm-hmm. some mobile devices. But they're basically taking a simple editor mm-hmm. and it's not a good experience to write code in them because they don't have IntelliSense. Or mm-hmm. it's really a step backwards. Instead of leveraging mm-hmm. kind of the features of the device, they are mm-hmm. going back to the basic experience. And so, especially with IntelliSense, mm-hmm. we now try to really make it possible to write code on the device, which wasn't possible before.
And also this, in a sense, what's so interesting with this, it's a game. It's in the game section because it's really about solving those duels. And most of your time spent in Pixel Fun is really thinking. How do you write factorial or things like that, rather than the typing. You solve extremely hard bit shifting and counting puzzles with not so many letters, mm-hmm. but they're actually hard to figure out. So
sure.
it's really not about spitting out hundreds of lines of code. It's about mm-hmm. figuring out tricky algorithms in the phone. So we were told also, hey, this has great educational value.
Yes, it does.
You can teach kids how to program, and it's a game. So we have
awesome.
We've also looked at this, and we were last week at the Computer Science Education Conference, mm-hmm. Showcasing X for Fun to high school teachers.
Excellent, and the feedback was good.
Great. Mm-hmm. So we have. You cannot just solve individual puzzles mm-hmm. on PixelFun and on the phone, but you can collect individual exercises into courses, and then basically there's a sequence of puzzles, and when you solve all of them, you've become expert in some topic. Mm-hmm. For example, how to deal with coordinates in the plane. We have a course on how to write games on XNA, and it's all on the website and on the phone. So there's a teaching component.
Great.
Now the teachers can just use that. So they say, okay, let's do a course on XNA game programming. Just do the puzzles on the website.
Perfect.
The vision here is, let me show you a page. It's, let's say you have an e-reader in your pocket and you're reading a computer science book. Mm-hmm. And instead of just looking at snippets, mm-hmm. you have the whole editor in your pocket. You can just go and play with whatever, new language you're looking at. So
sure.
For example, here... This is our C sharp class.
Okay.
It's part of Pex for Fun, mm-hmm. and you can see it has some text about how you do console, write line in Hello World.
Yeah.
And there's a fish in the editor. So let me click on the fish.
Okay.
And this goes into our editor. I mean, now we have an editor, and now you whoops. So I've loaded the sample that was on the page
okay.
in the editor, and I can run it with. Pushing the fish button.
Excellent.
And goes and run Hello World. And I can, as a student, go and tweak
it.
Right. So
yes.
I can go back, see, and say, Charles is cool. I'm going to type something more random.
Yeah.
Let's see, run, and then you run again, and this, this does something else. So it's
perfect.
It's the end-to-end kind of experience when you're learning programming.
Yep. And, a lot of people learn programming writing web pages, right, because of the concept of there is no compilation as much as there is just type in some stuff and press refresh on your browser and, oh, I changed the background color to blue. That immediate sort of gratification is very important for children, especially, and people learning out, so that's great. The question I'm going to ask now, though, and I'm going to point the camera over here because I've already asked it to you, but you mentioned taking advantage of what's on the device. Did you use RX?
no,
it's burned into the ROM, dude.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eurasia RX guy. So, what Peter just showed you was that you can write some text to the console.
Yes.
And if you think about it, there are so many more things you could do with a phone. I mean, Peter showed you that you can actually write code and run a program
Absolutely.
On your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about all of these sensors you have nowadays. You can track the movements. And so we are, in our research, looking into even more ways how you can write code on the phone mm-hmm. in a way that's actually fun.
Absolutely.
To experience what the device can do and customize it.
Absolutely. And I'm just kidding about RX, man. When I was thinking about RX, one of the great things about that sort of reactive programming and throwing observables out into the environment and things come back when they come back and you deal with them as opposed to what we're normally dealing with when we deal with the way
this
we compose
This is our first app. This is our first app on the phone, so we had to learn it from scratch. And
right on. So how was that experience, Pelle? I mean, talk to me about the programming experience on the phone.
I've never programmed for other platforms. It's pretty good. Could leverage all my .NET knowledge. I had to learn XAML in the middle and Blend. Wasn't too painful. I think there's great resource like the Silverlight toolkit that brings you very transition for pages and gestures and all this stuff that makes your life easier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go and build an intelligence engine inside of an editor, things get a little bit more tricky.
Sure.
But again, you can go and debug. There's a debugger, which I happen to use a lot, can debug on the device. So all your experience about .NET development, you bring it to the phone. It's really straightforward.
Excellent. So now you mentioned debuggers, so am I going to be able to set breakpoints on my code in the next version?
Actually, that's kind of on our to-do list. Yeah. So not only on the phone, also on the web page, wherever you write code, should have a debugger. So,
well, hey, listen, this reminds me, but this is sort of a JavaScript thing. So Mugshot, right, which is created by James Mickens and people, and also I think the Zorn group.
This replay feature for JavaScript?
Yeah, so replay JavaScript. Yes. That would be an incredibly interesting feature to implement for your Pex for Fun in C#, in F#, whatever you guys support. Great for debugging, great for, I'd love to be able to play somebody else's code. Do you understand? Replay someone else's code to get a better understanding of what they're trying to do at runtime.
Yeah.
So anyway.
You really want to step through the code and see what it's doing. I know you always just get the output. It's a very static experience.
Exactly.
More. There are also other ways to make it more dynamic. Mm. So we have a long feature list of exciting things you want to do. For example, you might have seen the table you get out of Pex for Fun for particular inputs. You get particular outputs.
Uh-huh.
What if that table could be like an Excel spreadsheet and you can just edit the values, then your program runs in the background and you get the outputs?
Interesting.
So that's another feature people ask for.
It is. Perfect. That would be great. One of the things for the phone I was thinking while you were showing it, you're both sitting there holding phones. Of course, I have one too. So here's three of the same phone, same platform in the same room. So if I would think of this sort of as like mobile programming. So if I'm mobile programming just to make some kind of interesting app for my phone, let's look at it a little bit in the future if I could actually build something besides just playing for fun and games. We could interact in interesting ways. I mean, I could picture you being able to like flick me a class or flick me some code or flick me a snippet, hands on my phone, I'm like, thanks, bro. So that kind of communication between developers, like a multiple developer mobile programming experience. Now that you've laid the foundation, you might be able to do something like that. I mean,
so there, if you look at Project Y from Microsoft Research, there is a message API, but it's it's a location-based way of interacting with other phones.
Okay.
Right, it goes through Azure or something like that. Mm-hmm. But you see it on, you have a web service where you can actually interact with people around you. You can build kind of stuff like maybe sending code around.
Yes.
To someone else.
Because, I mean, let me ask you, because Pex for Fun has been out for a while, you guys must have your superstar, you know, Pex for Fun constant winners. Like, who are these people? Is it always Pelle?
No.
Or does
no.
someone else win sometimes?
Actually, we don't know who it is.
It's purely anonymous.
Yeah, there are people from all over the world. It's not entirely anonymous. You give yourself a nickname.
Uh-huh.
So, you can also optionally give yourself a homepage.
Okay. So I think Maisel solved all the coding duels.
Yeah, there's someone...
Maisel?
Maisel.
Right. Yeah, the number one solved 136 coding duels. Yes. It's very, very impressive.
Wow. So who are you, dude?
Yeah.
Or dudette. I hope maybe it's a dudette. That would be nice.
We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
So there's been already more than 1,000 people who logged into the webpage. And
nice.
Many have solved dozens, if not hundreds, of coding duels. Just because it's fun. I mean, we are trying to create the teaching.
It's fun for programmers.
Yeah, but it's just fun.
Yeah.
So we have leaderboard. It's a game, right? So you have leaderboards. So today, enter the leaderboard, so you can see Maisel has a lot of points. So just to talk about the point story, I'm have 59 points. I'm at position 23.
Okay.
And today, I think you need at least 7 points to even enter the.
Okay, that's a nice list.
But interestingly, a good way to win points is to actually write and create new coding duels that you publish. And then anytime somebody else solve your coding duels, then you win points for it. So it's a game, and you can win by being creative or by solving other people's coding duels.
Excellent. So we have around 200 coding duels on the website right now, but it's not a static set. Mm-hmm. So if you want to challenge other people and get more points, you can create your own exercises or puzzles and put them on the website for other people to solve.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you really get the points.
So let me ask a question before we wind this down. What every programmer has his or her favorite sort of language, right? The way that they express their algorithms and their ideas of computation. What do you support? Just managed code, JavaScript?
So today we only support managed code because everything is backed by our PEX analysis engine.
Ooh.
Which works for .NET codes.
Just kidding.
Yes.
Okay. But I can see some really interesting things with native code, right?
Certainly. So and we get that question a lot.
See?
Yeah. So we might, in the long term, build another engine that can analyze native code. But for the time being, this probably long time, just managed code.
Well, you know what? Maybe somebody out in the community could help too, right? Maybe somebody out in the community could help write a back-end.
Yeah, or a .NET compiler. So we might actually support JavaScript in the near future because, well, we have a JavaScript engine that sits on top of .NET, right? That was part of the Spur project.
Yes.
So we have that. And for any compiler for .NET, we could just plug it in and it would work because our engine doesn't really care about the front-end language. We are just looking at .NET IL code.
We haven't mentioned this, but we support VB and F#. So
great.
If you want to write F# on your phone.
Yeah. Let me zoom in on F# that, dude. So you can see it. Sorry. There we go. Looks F-sharp. Like F#. Nice.
The disclaimer is, so the intelligence engine we only implemented for C#.
I understand. I'm sort of half serious, but also half not serious. Yeah. Because, I mean, Nurikavi solvers... Right? Did I say that right? Maybe I didn't. But STL has his implementation. Him being Stefan T. Lavave, who's a very smart guy. But there could be a better one out there. And I think it could be fun to have those kind of games and invite more people to the party than the wonderful .NET developers that are out there. That's all. That's just my feedback.
Hey, no problem.
Right on, man.
We're looking at everything always.
That's right? Wonderful. I could see the challenges there. For the future, in seriousness, how do you foresee PEX for Fun evolving, like in the near future, as opposed to my random weird questions about what may or may not be coming up? What's things that you can talk about that the customer's been asking for and that you're thinking about?
Okay. So, especially with the phone app, we just might see an explosion of people who write more and more of these puzzles,
yes.
And there's a community of people who just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's also a great future in the teaching story. So we are in contact with many teachers who already started to use it in their classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, really long-term where it's not just fun, but there's some serious value to it.
Mm-hmm.
So on the research side, we are looking at improving the whole programming experience on the phone, leveraging the phone sensors, really hooking into the cloud, not just as a back-end mechanism, but really also for you when you write the code.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's one thing I was going to say, because I've played around with the app, And I played around with other app, sort of type-intensive apps on the phone. Not that this is necessarily type-intensive, but it is. So coding with your thumbs is not that fun. And that takes the fun out of the PEX for fun. So don't get me wrong. It's a beautiful thing that you've done. But how it's one just interacts, beginning. It's just the beginning. Yeah. Right on, man. And next time you guys... so just so everyone knows, go out and get this. It's free.
Yeah,
you can get it today.
Look for PEX or PEX for Fun on the marketplace. It's a game. It'll show up in the game section.
Okay.
Don't get caught. Don't look for it in the application list.
Because it is a game.
It is a game.
Game for programmers.
And it's Windows 7 exclusive. Don't look anywhere else.
Nowhere else, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, there's a website. Right.
There's a website that you could, of course, run in a browser that runs on a
actually, it works
phone.
Pretty well on any... smartphone if you open the website. It works.
I think I want to emphasize on what Nikolai said. There is really a great story to tell about helping education. I mean, we know there's a budget crunch everywhere. This is really something that can interest. You know, there was this paper at ICSI that says, America's got talent but not enough in computer science. And if we can interest the smart kids in that it's fun to code.
Yes,
I know. We need to have them in our industry.
I agree, 100%.
So we're also very excited to be able to help there. We didn't expect that from what we've done.
Absolutely,
really happy about that.
Well, hey, I hope that works out. And another thing that is fun is sort of the ACM challenge that they had recently, where you had to build creatures, and then you fought with other creatures. Of course. There was some very advanced algorithms being implemented by college students, but in some sense, that would be nice also to have that kind of where the code isn't the game necessarily, but the code is the way you have a character that abstracts the code or something that I play with as a kid and go, wow, I'll just make him bigger and I change the property and sit go.
Every time a kid wastes time on his iPhone or on his device.
Yeah.
Not coding.
Yeah.
In a sense, if you're a true geek, it's lost time. Yeah.
You're right.
Coding time has totally replaced gaming time for me a while ago.
Understood, man.
So if we give them the tool, they'll come up with crazy stuff, I would say.
I think so. So thank you guys for writing this app for the phone. Game for the phone. Yeah. It's definitely very enjoyable, and I could see how in the future, if the experience... evolves to be more sort of related to the phone experience. It's a beautiful thing. The phone gives you so much capability with communication and touch and zoom and gesture and shake and move. I'm sure you guys are doing some great stuff, and I look forward to come back and learn all about it.
Yeah, I think the app was just as much fun as I hope you have playing it.
Thank you so much. Great job, you guys. PEX for Fun really is very fun. Cheers.